The question here is whether or not Ner Chanukah is what's called a Chovas Bayis, or it's a Chovas Gavra with a Kiyum in the Bayis. What I mean to say is, it says Ikar HaMitzvah is Ner Ishu Beiso. Does that mean that the Bayis generates the mitzvah? There's no mitzvah on the individual. The mitzvah is on anyone and everyone in the Bayis, not as individuals, but as a collective entity. Now, we would have assumed that the answer to this question would lie in the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, but to our surprise, the answer to this question lies in Hilchos Brachos. And the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos categorizes mitzvos into two, he subcategorizes like this, and divides mitzvos into two categories. He's got one category which he calls Mitzvah Saseh Shalom Chayav Lehishtadil Velirdov. He's got to run after the mitzvah. We call that a Chovas Gavra until he can fulfill the mitzvah. And that's called a Chova. Then he has mitzvos which he doesn't have to run after them. If the occasion arises, then he'll fulfill the mitzvah. That's not called a Chova. It's really like Domil Rishus. Now notice, Rambam says it's domel rishus. He's not willing to call it a full-fledged rishus. For example, a chovas bayis is contingent on the fact that you have a bayis. You don't have to actually go out and buy a house in order to fulfill this mitzvah. But in event that you have a bayis, then you become obligated to the mitzvah. So the precondition to set up the chova is voluntary, meaning you don't have to set up the chova. That he calls a ke'en rishus. He says domel rishus. And he has two examples. He's got the example of mezuzah, and he has the example of makeh. So would I have to run out and buy a house in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah or the mitzvah of makeh? What's the answer? No. And that you'll see on the top of page Yud Zayin, that the Rambam's lashon is ein adam chayv lishkon bebayis, HaChayav B'mezuzah, Kedesh Yasa B'mezuzah. He doesn't have to, he's not obligated to live in a house in order to generate a chiyuv of mezuzah or makeh. Elin Ratza Lishkon Kol Yoma B'Ohel, says the Rambam, if he wants to live for the rest of his life in a tent, which is not obligated in mezuzah or makeh, Obisfino, or he wants to sail the seven seas, and that's where he spends his life, that's fine. Whereas the Rambam classifies the following mitzvahs under Chova, which you'll see on the bottom of page Tezayin. Number one, Tefillin. Number two, Sukkah. Number three, Lulav. Number four, Shofar. These are all called Chova because you have to go ahead and get yourself a Lulav. It's not, if I happen to have a Lulav, I happen to have a Shofar, I'm obligated in the midst of Lulav a Shofar. I have to go out and get myself a Lulav. It's not if I have Tefillin, which I inherited from my Alter Zeder, then I'm Chayv in Tefillin. I have to see to it that I have Tefillin. If it means I have to beg, borrow, or steal, that's what I have to do. Not steal, literally. Okay? So I have to build a sukkah. It's not that if I have a sukkah, I got to live in the sukkah. So those mitzvahs of Tefillin, sukkah, lulav, and shofar, the Rambam calls them chova. I have to see to it that I can fulfill those mitzvahs. But then he has the mitzvahs of mezuzah and makeh, which is domel rishus, because you don't have to live in a house or find yourself a house in order to fulfill these mitzvahs. That's as far as doraisa is concerned. Now he goes down to the level of a mitzvah derabbanan. Here too, the Rambam says that there is such a thing as a mitzvah sheyesh b'chova, and there's a mitzvah that's domel rishus. So, for example, the Rambam says I don't have to eat bread in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Netil Siyadayim. If I happen to eat bread, then I go ahead and I wash my hands and I fulfill that mitzvah d'rabbanan. I don't have to buy myself a chatzer in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros. So that's called domel rishus. But there are mitzvahs midivreihem, which are a chova, that I have to go out of my way and make sure that I can fulfill those mitzvahs. And on that list, he says, kigon, mikra megillah, that makes sense. Right, I'm obligated to Mikra Megillah, and if I don't have a Megillah, I have to go get a Megillah. If I have to buy a Megillah, borrow a Megillah, that's what I have to do. And then, he has Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. That's okay. It means that I'm obligated to Ner Shabbos. Again, what happens if I don't have a bias? wherever I am, I'm going to have to light a Ner Shabbos. And then he has Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. That's the punchline of this whole discussion. The Rambam classifies Hadlokas Ner Chanukah as a Chova, and he doesn't equate it with Mezuzah and Makah. And that's difficult because the assumption on that part would be that just like Mezuzah and Makah, if you happen to have a house, you have to equip the house with the Mezuzah and the Makah. That's Dome Le Rishus. I would have said logically the same definition should apply to Ner Chanukah. If I happen to have a bias, I'm chayv to equip the bias with a Ner Chanukah. No. The Rambam says I'm obligated in Ner Chanukah, and I have to fulfill that mitzvah. Look, if I don't have a bias, then we have a principle called Onus Rachmana Patre. You know, if the circumstance is beyond your possibility, then fine, then you're an onus. But in theory, you'd have to buy yourself a house, rent yourself a house, or do whatever you have to do in order to guarantee yourself a house, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Ner Chanukah.
Well, that's because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not related to the criteria.
It's a chovas kavra. In other words, I have an absolute chova to fulfill this mitzvah, just like I have an absolute chova, unconditional, to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, or the mitzvah of sukkah, or the mitzvah of lulav, or the mitzvah of shofar. Add Chanukah to that list. The only reason the Rambam doesn't add Chanukah to the list in the beginning is the Rambam's only addressing Doraisa. But then when the Rambam gets to the mitzvah of Rabbanon, he lists the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah of chova. It means that there's a Chovas Gavra Ner Chanukah. We discussed this once, if you remember, those who were here with me, when we talked about an Achsanoi, who, Lechor an Achsanoi, doesn't have a bias of his own. Why is he obligated Ner Chanukah? And the Gemara says explicitly, Omer Avsheshes Achsanoi Chayv Ner Chanukah, and he's Meshtakti Perpruta in the whole bit. So we said there also that he has a Chiyuv on the Gavra to fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. If he doesn't have a bias, well, we'll see how we can facilitate his ability to be mekayim this mitzvah. Maybe he's an oreach in the Beis HaKnesses, maybe he'll be yotze with that luck in the Beis HaKnesses. In the case of a roa Ner Chanukah, the Chazal organized the way that even if he doesn't have a bias, Rashi says he's a holech yoshev b'sfina, so he doesn't have a bias, how will he fulfill his chovas gavra? And the answer is chodsh, at the very least, will give him a partial kiyum through re'iyah of someone else's Ner Chanukah. So we see that Ner Chanukah also depends upon bias, but there's a chovas gavra, and he has to look for a bias. If he doesn't have a bias, he's an onus, and he cannot fulfill his mitzvah, but he has a mitzvah. And if, in the very least of, you know, the very barest minimum possibility would be that he'll see someone else's Ner Chanukah, and at least he'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyas Ner Chanukah, and he'll make the bracha of Shas Nisim on Re'iyas Ner Chanukah. The Rambam is saying that Ner Chanukah is a chova, and get yourself a bias. If you can't get yourself a bias, we'll call you an onus, the onus rachmana patre. So if you take a look at the paragraph on Nira, you'll drop down about, let's say, 8 lines or 7 lines, and you'll see a line that starts with the word kidei, and at the end of that line, going on to the next line, he says, Masha enkein mitzvahs ner Chanukah, which is not similar to makeh and mezuzah. I don't have to go ahead and live in a house in order to be chayim and mezuzah or makeh. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, having mitzvah la gavra, meaning it's a chovas gavra, kikol ad mitzvahs, like any other mitzvah. The only thing is that where do you fulfill this mitzvah? You can't walk out in the middle of the street, you know, or go to a basketball game and say, oh, I'm going to, you know, in the stadium, I'm going to light an Ner Chanukah. I mean, again, if you're Lubavitch, maybe the din changes, I don't know. But for most of us, you know, we would say that if you don't have a bias, then there's no possibility of you fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You have a mitzvah that you can't fulfill because you don't have a bias. So get yourself a bias. And if you can't get yourself a bias, then you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And again, you know, that's a bit of a problem. You know, we're not satisfied with that. So we can only, you know, if you're an achsanoi, we're going to say, well, be mishtati bepruta. And if you're a roes and Ner Chanukah, we'll say that at least chutz you get the mitzvah of re'iyas Ner Chanukah. We're going to try to do the best we can for a person who doesn't have a bias. But at the end of the day, we're not going to say that because he doesn't have a bias, He's not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And this leads us to the paragraph that starts Vehine. And Tosfos is totally confused about this whole enterprise of Re'ias HaNer, that you make a bracha on seeing someone else's Ner Chanukah. Tosfos says, we never found a bracha on seeing someone's mezuzah. Why is it that with regard to Ner Chanukah, if you see someone else's Ner Chanukah, you make a bracha on Re'iyah? We don't have anything similar in mezuzah. And Tosfos goes very far in his kasha, which you'll see on the bottom going on to the top left. He says, kasha, im kein gam mezuzah, havin le levarach birchas haroah? No, Tosfos assumes an absolute equation between mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. Excuse me, Tosfos is oblivious to the distinction that the Rama makes, where the Rama holds that mezuzah is not an obligation. You know, you have a bias, you have a bias, then you're obligated. But if you don't have a bias, we're not going to set up a mitzvah for Iyah. In the case of Ner Chanukah, where there is a Chovas Kavra, there the Chazal should try to find another option from a fallback position, how he can fulfill his mitzvah since he doesn't have a bias. So they set up a mitzvah for Iyah that has nothing to do with mezuzah, because mezuzah was never a chiyuv to begin with. He doesn't have a bias, he's not obligated. But Tosfos apparently assumes that Ner Chanukah is exactly equivalent to mezuzah. And if you take a look here, he says that Bal Korcha Svirle, we're about 10 lines down from the beginning of this left column, the Tosfos Svirle Degam Ner Chanukah Bichovas Habayis. And therefore Tosfos says, if it's a Chovas Habayis, and yet the Chazal made a Takana for someone who doesn't have a bias, even though, again, technically speaking, he's not obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah or Chanukah, but yet the Rabbanon wanted to give him a kiyum. In other words, 99% of the population, they're chayav in their Chanukah. Why? Because they have a bias. 1% of the population doesn't have a bias, and therefore they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. For that 1%, Chazal felt compassion. Their hearts went out for someone who's not obligated in this mitzvah. Why should he, just because he's a poor person, therefore he should be out of commission and excluded from the mitzvah and the chov of Ner Chanukah? So what they did was they broke new ground, and they said, at least make a bracha when you see a Ner Chanukah. And be mekayim the mitzvah of Riyah. Why didn't they make a similar takana for someone who's never so poor, he doesn't have a house, he's homeless, and therefore he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah? Not only that, he's not even obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah, but in Ner Chanukah, Tosfos, he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and yet they gave him the option of, through this takana, of a birchas haroeh.
That's because they're not the same. The mitzvah.
Oh, you want to answer Tosfos' kasha? Okay. That's fine. Go ahead. But again, you know, we're trying to understand Tosfos. We weren't trying to outsmart Tosfos. Oh, you know, okay. But go ahead. If you want to give an answer to Tosfos' kasha, that's fine.
It seems like the mezuzah is related to the bias per se. There's no chovah on him altogether, and so when there's a bias, it generates the mitzvah. But the real mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros is Pirsum and Nisa. It's not the Hadlaka of the Chazal say, the way you Mekayim Pirsum.
So that's the Rambam Shita, just like you said, Alan. The Rambam Shita is that there's a Chovas Gavra to be Mefarsim the Nes. And if you don't have a bias to do so, then we'll offer you some sort of fallback position, which is called Re'iyah. And that itself is going to be some sort of Mixas Kiv. Tosfos, on the other hand, accepted an absolute equation between Mezuzah and Ner Chanukah, and the whole mitzvah is contingent upon the fact that you have a bias. Once you have a bias, then you become chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. Then you become chayiv in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And then the Tosfos thinks that if we're worried about and our heart goes out for someone who doesn't have a bias, and he didn't have a chiyuv, what can we do on his behalf? And the answer is, we're going to give him an option of re'iyah. So Tosfos says, if that be the case, then even in the case of mezuzah, our heart should go out for someone who cannot fulfill and is not even obligated in the midst of mezuzah. Give him the option of what? Of a re'iyah. That's Tosfos' kasha. Ayin Shom, if you have a Gemara Sukkah, I can read to you his answer, but that's not for now. Oh, he says the following. Where does he quote the Brisker Rav? Just give me a second. Okay, I'm not finding it right now, but he says the following. There's a halacha, a principle in mitzvahs. How much is the maximum amount of money that a person has to spend from all his assets for the sake of a single mitzvah? Anybody remember that?
Yeah, chomesh.
Up to a chomesh, correct. Hamavazbeis al yivazbeis yosem michomesh. So the Mechaber here assumes in the Gvuras Yitzchak that to buy a house for someone who's poor would probably be a lot more than 20% of his assets. And if we assume so, then we come to the following conclusion, that maybe there's no obligation in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, or for that matter, in the mitzvah of Mezuzah, for someone who's an Ani. Again, are you with me, Rabosa? I'm assuming that an Ani doesn't have the ability of spending, you know, 19% of his assets on getting himself a bias. He's going to have to spend 20% or more, and here the halacha is al yivazbeis yosef michomesh. So let's try to understand the case of a person who normally would be obligated in a specific in a mitzvah. You know, we'll call it mitzvah X right now, whatever that mitzvah might be. But the halacha tells me that because of his financial poverty, he doesn't have a mitzvah, meaning al yivazbeis yosef michomesh. How do we define that? There are two ways of defining that. And he says the following. One way of defining that is to say that in such a case, he's not obligated in the mitzvah. In other words, the precondition of the obligation is that he would not have to spend 20% of his assets for the mitzvah. In this case, that precondition has not been met. He's so poor that he would have to spend at least 20% and probably much more in order to set himself up for that mitzvah. So again, one way of saying it is that the tnai, the precondition in setting up the chiyuv, is that he would be able to achieve this mitzvah without spending 20% or more of his assets. The other way of saying it is that no, he's a poor person, Nebuch, but he's chayv in the mitzvah, like anyone else is chayv in the mitzvah. But as far as spending money is concerned for the mitzvah, he doesn't have the ability to spend 20% of his assets. And therefore he's anus. Does everybody have that?
Yeah.
I just want to write this on the board. There are two definitions. One definition is eino mechuyov, right? And the other definition is to say anus. And if he's going to have to spend 20% or more, we could argue in one of two ways. We can say in such a case, he's not even obligated in the mitzvah, because the Torah never imposed upon a person of spending 20% for a mitzvah. So if the Torah never imposed such an obligation, he's not mechuyev. The other way is to say no. Why should we exempt him from the chiyuv? You know, we could say that he's mitigating circumstances. He's not going to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. He doesn't have the assets to fulfill the mitzvah. So just one second. Then we're getting to the exciting part of this whole article, this whole essay. Now, in order to analyze these two definitions, it's like Chas V'Shalom, somebody doesn't have arms. You know, is he obligated in tefillin, or the arm generates the chiyuv, but he's not obligated. The first way is to say, well, he doesn't have arms, so he has no way of fulfilling this mitzvah. He can't put it on his nose or on his head. The other way is to saying it that he's not even obligated in the midst of tefillin. It's like the case of Mesu Echov Machmas HaMila, that he's not chayav in Mila. Does that mean that he's chayav in Mila but he just can't implement the Mila because there's hemophilia in the family? Or are we saying that he's not even obligated in the mitzvah because the Torah never obligated you to put your life into danger for the sake of a mitzvah of Mila? And then after me is going to be whether the father could eat from a carbon Pesach. You know, if his son is an RL because he can't circumcise his son because of hemophilia, then the father can't eat from the carbon Pesach. Or do we say no? The father is not even chayav in meal of his son in such a case, so therefore he can eat from the carbon Pesach. Machlokas Rishonim on that. But the Machaber here wants to suggest that it's all dependent upon the Tosfos. And this Tosfos of all places is in Masechta Bava Basra. What happens in Masechta Bava Basra? We have a case of a Chatzi Eved, a Chatzi Ben Chorin. Now, is he obligated to have children? Well, it depends. If you look at his Chatzi Ben Chorin Shebo, then he's obligated to have children. But if you look at the Chatzi Eved Shebo, then he's not obligated to have children. And the Gemara establishes that Kofin es Rabo L'Shachara, we're going to force the master, the owner of this Eved, to free his Eved and make him into a full-fledged Ben Chorin. So the Gemara says, why? Why is that so? Because of a pasuk in Tanakh, it says, lo sobra, God didn't create the earth to be tohu, meaning to have no population of people to live, to occupy the earth. La shevis yitzar, but rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to what? In order to have yishuv for ha'aretz, right? That people should settle on the land. Fektosis, why does Gemara need to quote a pasuk of lo sobra la shevis yitzara? Why not just say period verivia? There's a mitzvah pruravu, and the chatzi ben chorin shebo is chayev in the mitzvah period verivia, and that itself should just now. Now keep in mind, does the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin have the ability to be mekayim the mitzvah period verivia? Who's he going to marry? He's in deep trouble. Why? If he marries a shivcha knainis, then the chatzi ben chorin shebo violates the isur of kedeshus. That's a separate law in the Torah. If on the other hand he marries a bas yisrael, then the bas yisrael is going to violate the isur of kedeshus because he's a chatzi eved. So there's basically no one left in the marriage pool. Maybe we could work it out with Gioris or something like that. But anyway, right now there's no one left that he could marry. Oh, so in such a case, what do we have to do? Says Tosfos, why don't we apply the principle of kofenes rabo l'shachero? In order to facilitate the Eved's ability to be makai in the midst of period of Arivia, we should force the Adon to free his Eved. Oh, so Tosfos answers, let's just let Tosfos answer his own kasha. So Tosfos answers, why is period of Rivia not going to be a reason to motivate Kofinis Rabo L'Shacharo? And the answer is because he's potter from the mitzvah. Why is he potter from the mitzvah? Because he's an onus. Again, he's talking about the Ben Chorin Shemo. So the half of Ben Chorin in this Eved is potter from the mitzvah period of Rivia because he has no possibility of what? Of being a kind of the mitzvah period of Rivia. Says Tosfos, we're not going to apply the principle of Kofinis Rabo Kideshi Yischayev B'Period V'Rivya. Kofinis Rabo will only apply when there's a reason that exists and there's an obligation and we have to fulfill that obligation, so we're going to force the Adon to allow for the possibility of fulfilling a Chiyuv. But in the case of Period V'Rivya and Echatzi Eved Echatzi Ben Chorin, Tosfos says there is no Chiyuv Period V'Rivya. So you'll underline the last few words on page Yud Zayin if you're with me until now. Tosfos says that Kedeshi is chayev ba lo kafin and l'rabo lasos ben chorin. Do you hear the lumpus? Tosfos is being mechadish a big chiddush. He's saying the following: that in a situation where someone does not have the possibility of implementing the mitzvah, we're not going to force anyone to put that person into a situation where he can fulfill the mitzvah, because he's not obligated in the mitzvah. You and I would have said, what do you mean he's not obligated in the mitzvah? For sure, he's a Ben Chorin, like any other Ben Chorin, he's obligated in Peru Revu. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. No. Tosfos says he's not obligated in Peru Revu. Why? Because he has no possibility of being Makai in the Peru Revu. Because he's also a Chatzi Eved. So you see something phenomenal from this Tosfos. That Tosfos says if you are prevented from fulfilling a mitzvah and you have no, in your state as is now, you have no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah, then you're not chayev in the mitzvah. And then Afkamina is going to be where the kofin is rabba. So if you say that a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin because of his half of ben chorin shvo is chayev in the mitzvah period of Rivia, Then Tosu says we would obligate the Eved, the Adon, to be Meshachra, the Eved, in order to make it possible for the Eved to fulfill his Chiyuv. But now it was saying that since this Chatzi Eved Chatzi Mechorin in his present state has no possibility of being Makai the Mitzvah Piriv Rivia, therefore he's not even obligated in the Piriv Rivia. We're not going to force the Adon to make him into a Bar Chiyuv. If he's not a Bar Chiyuv, then there's no din of Kofin Isravo. So Tosus now comes to the conclusion that if a person, in this case a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Menorah, has no possibility of being Makayim the Mitzvah, we would have called that Onus, he's not even Chayim in the Mitzvah. And if we're going to apply that logic to the case of someone who would have to spend more than 20% of his assets in order to set up a bias for the Mitzvah Mezuzah, for the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, then in such a case, we're going to say that he's honest, and therefore he's not even chayav in the mitzvah. Just like the Ben Chorin, because he has a chatzi eved to him, he doesn't have the possibility of being mekayim what mitzvah? Period of a rivia, therefore he's not chayav in the mitzvah period, and therefore there's no din of kofin isravo. So Tosfos goes a step further, he's saying that if a person is nimna, manua mem nuna vavayim, he's prevented from fulfilling a mitzvah, then we're not going to just say he's an onus, and at the same time we're going to say he's chayav in the mitzvah, right? Onus. Onus meaning that he's chayav in the mitzvah. What did I do with that, right? Onus. Avol chayav. Which means that he's onus on the kiyum mitzvah, right? But he's still a gavra bar chiyuva. No, Tosfos insists that we have to go a step further, and we can say that he's not just an onus, but he's a bar chiyuva. But he's not a chiyuv in the mitzvah at all. And again, what's nafkamina? It's not going to be what kofin es rabo. Again, you have that. Oh, so if we apply the logic of Tosfos here to the case of a poor person vis-a-vis a bias, then we're going to have to say that if he cannot purchase a bias, then he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah at all. And if that be the case, Tosfos now is going to approach the situation of Chanukah and the situation of Mezuzah from the same exact perspective, meaning that both in the case of an Oni who cannot afford a bias, it's more than a Chomish Nechosov, he is not Chayiv in the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, and in the case of Mezuzah, if he cannot afford to get himself a bias because it's more than 20% of his Nechosov, he's not Chayiv in the Mitzvah of Mezuzah. And in both cases, therefore, Tosa says, you should institute a Birchas HaRoah for the sake of someone who's not Chayiv in the Mitzvah, which is very fascinating, because if he's not Chayiv in the Mitzvah, then why do we have to turn over the world inside out and upside down, both in the case of Ner Chanukah, says Tosfos, and in the case of Mezuzah, and create an option where he gets a brach, he gets a kiyum mitzvah? So, do you have page Yud Ches?
Yes.
Okay, Abby, we have to thank you for getting us to page Yud Ches. And on page Yud Ches, he says the following. On the second line, Hare Yochichu HaTosfos, Tosfos based on the Sugi Bobasra has arrived at the following conclusion. These are halachic principles here. And what is the halachic conclusion? De lo kaifinon l'rabo b'chai gavna de'onis b'mitzvah. Why? Because kadesh is chayav b'mitzvah. Because you can't force the master to do something in order to create a chiyuv in a mitzvah. Meaning that once you're onus, in the case of a chatzi ben chorin, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah. If the eved, the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, is a chayiv in the mitzvah, we're not going to force the adon. Ulech ora, tzorech bir. I don't understand, he says. Hadimyon liavodim she'enom b'nei chiyuv b'chol mitzvahs. Lehecha she'avi ben chorin v'rakhu onus b'kiyuma. Tosfos wants to universalize this principle and say that from the sugya of ein kofin isravo for the sake of piri v'rivya, in the case of chatzi ben chorin, Tosfos derives the conclusion that anyone who's onus is not chayiv in the mitzvah. So if you go back to page Yud Zayin for a second, He says in the middle of that last paragraph, he says, "In Ken Yeshom de Mashikosav Atos Shesh Kama Bnei Adam She'en Lan Batim V'en Biyadam L'Kayim a Mitzvah." In other words, they don't have to buy a house in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah ner Chanukah. And therefore Tosfos says that since it would be more than a chovish nechasim, he says we're not going to obligate him to pay more than a chovish nechasim, is havilei onus. And then Tosfos says mikomakom machmas onus eino chayav b'mitzvah. He's not chayav b'mitzvah. And Tosfos asks the following question, that if he's not chayav b'mitzvah, why do we establish a takonis of roa in the case of Ner Chanukah? He doesn't have a bias. He would have to spend more than 20% of his possessions in order to be chayav in the mitzvah. Right now he's not chayav in the mitzvah. Tosfos says, and yet, to our surprise, and that's the chiddushi of the sugya of Birchas HaRoa, they established the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Says Tosfos, if that be the case, why not make the following analogy, that a mezuzah, even though he's potur, because again, if he's honest, he's potur. Everybody have that? That's the equation in Tosfos. Honest equals potur. If that be the case, then we should still, you know, as we said before, our heart goes out for him. We should establish takana to give him some opportunity to hang on to this mitzvah, to connect to this mitzvah. He says, "Afal pi de potter machoshen lo bayis havilon l'taken birchas aroa." And then Tosfos comes up with a technical reason why there is no takanas aroa in mezuzah. But before we get to that answer, we have to understand Tosfos' kasha. And Tosfos is assuming that there's a gevaldige chiddush here in birchas aroa, that Chazal, in the case of Ner Chanukah, for someone who has no bayis and he's honest in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, nevertheless they establish the takana to give him some part of the mitzvah and hang on to some part of the mitzvah, namely what? Yeah. What part of the mitzvah? Re'iyah. We're going to give him Re'iyah. Everyone with me? I don't hear any responses to my question, so I get a little nervous here. So if you can answer my question, so we gave him the opportunity of hanging on to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, even though he's not chayav in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, namely what do we give him?
Re'iyah.
Okay, thank you very much. So Tosfos says, we gave Ner Chanukah mitzvah re'iyah, we should give mezuzah mitzvah re'iyah if he doesn't have a bias. And Tosfos assumes that in both cases of Misha ein lo bias, whether it's Ner Chanukah or whether it's mezuzah, he's not chayiv in the mitzvah. And why is he not chayiv in the mitzvah? Because it would cost him more than 20% of his assets to set up a bias. And Tosfos Baba Basra, as we saw before, and that's the whole discussion that we had, going on to Daf Yudches, page Yudches, Tosfos establishes that if a person cannot fulfill a mitzvah, then he's not chayav in the mitzvah. And if he's not chayav in the mitzvah, we don't have kofinis rava. Now, this analogy is very strange, because in the case of Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, we have to ask ourselves the following question: what mitzvahs is he chayav in? That's what he says over here. That he's a chatzi eved, correct? So if he's a chatzi eved, then as far as his chatzi eved shabo, eino chayav b'chol mitzvahs. That's on line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Line 6. If you want to, again, I would only ask you as a favor to me, if you don't mind underlining those words, because if we underline words, then it makes it a lot easier to plow through a very long essay. I have an extra pencil here, and I have two pens here. One of them writes in red, so if anyone needs them, and if you don't mind returning them at the end of the shiur, that would be good. So for the balance of Chanukah, you know, if you can bring in a pen or a pencil, you know, to shiur, if that's not asking too much, you know, just to underline. I'm not being facetious. I mean to say, you know, it's hard to remember to take a pencil if you don't, you know, to me, if I walk out of the house without a pencil, I'm like naked, you know. But some people don't carry pencils, you know, they're yontiftik. Like God's your Purim or whatever. So for me, I never, well, I shouldn't say never, but I usually you know, if I have access to a pen or a pencil, I don't forget to bring it along. So if you can underline those words, she'enon b'nei chiyuv b'chol ha-mitzvus. Lehecha davi ben chorin rakshu onus b'kiyumo. I think if I can explain what he's saying here, lefiani is daiti, if a person doesn't have the money to spend on a mitzvah because it's more than 20% of his possessions, then he is a bar chiyuv in all mitzvahs. It could be that this mitzvah, which requires him to dig into his pocket and spend more than 20% of his assets, he will not be able to fulfill that mitzvah. He just doesn't have the money in his bank account to fulfill that mitzvah. That's not the same as a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. In the case of a chatzi eved ben chorin, what we're saying is that on the side, on the half of his personality that's an eved, he's not chayv in any of the mitzvahs. So you're going to tell me, well, let's impose a chiv mitzvah on him, and then we'll tell him he's an onus. You know, we're not going to go a step further and say that someone who's not chayv in the mitzvah, he's not a bar chiyuva in any mitzvah, now he became a bar chiyuva just that he's an onus. And that's not the case of someone who can't spend 20% of his assets for a mitzvah. He's a bar chiyuv in all the mitzvahs. He should be chayv in this mitzvah as well, just that he's in a state of onus, because how he's going to obtain the mitzvah, he can't spend 20% of his assets.
Clearly there's a difference between a person who's a chatzi eved and somebody that's a bar onus because he doesn't have the money.
Right.
There's a change in circumstance immediately makes him chayev.
So why would Tosis postulate an equation between the two cases? That's what he's worried
altogether.
Ubal korcha desvirle letosvis, the onus, Tosis, if he's accepting this equation, he must be going very far with his understanding of an onus. Eino gakdin b'kiyum ha-mitzvah. You and I would have said that he doesn't have the wherewithal to implement the mitzvah, but he's certainly obligated to the mitzvah. We can't hold him responsible because he's an onus. The Torah says, onus rachmana patre. He's a victim in the total sense. Tosfos says, goes a step further, that if he doesn't have the ability to be makayim a mitzvah, then he's part of it a mitzvah. That there is no obligation at all. That's what I wrote on the blackboard here. Eino mechuyim. That's Tosfos' shita. You can't say to a person you're obligated and then turn around and say to him, well, you don't have the ability to implement the obligation. If you don't have the ability to implement the obligation, then you're not obligated in the mitzvah. That's the chiddush of Tosfos. And that's what Tosfos means when he equates Ner Chanukah with mezuzah, and he says that in both cases, if it would cost him more than 20% of his assets in order to set up a bias, to acquire a bias, then he's not obligated in the mitzvah. The onus, the fact that he cannot implement the mitzvah, because we're not going to assume that he's going to spend 20% or more. The halacha won't allow him to spend 20% or more of his nechasim. Is therefore, Tosfos says that from onus we go one step further. We say you're not chayav in the mitzvah at all. And that's why Tosfos uses the language Potter hu mioso mitzvah. Tosfos says that in the case of Misha ein lo bayis, if he's so poor that he can't afford a house, that he's Potter from the mitzvah.
That's like the thing.
And why is he Potter from the mitzvah? Because again, according to Tosfos, it would be a self-contradiction to say on the one hand he's chayv in the mitzvah, on the other hand take away from him the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah. If you're taking away from him the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah, then ipso facto he's not obligated in the mitzvah. It doesn't make sense to say A, he's obligated, but B, he doesn't have the possibility of implementing the mitzvah. Ah, k'mo chen yeshlom v'das atos v'sukkah, the afagav d'ner chanukah havi chovas gavra. So now what we're saying is very interesting. We said that according to the Rambam classifies Ner Chanukah as a chova. Do you remember this? Although midrabbanan, but it's a chova. And therefore you have to do everything that you possibly can to make sure that you have a bias in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. We said that Tosfos on the other end, insofar as he equated Ner Chanukah with mezuzah, he held that there is no chovas gavra. It's all in the bias. The answer is no. Tosfos holds there's a chovas gavra. And even though there's a chovas gavra, he's not chayav. How can you say A and not A at the same time? How can you say that Ner Chanukah is a Chovetz Gavra, but he's not Chayiv? The answer is, if he has no bias, he becomes onus in the cube, and therefore, Mimela, he's part of Min HaMitzvah. He's part of Min HaMitzvah. Do you have that, Rabosai? So it means that for you and I, if we have a bias, or we have the wherewithal of getting a bias, we are obligated as a Chovetz Gavra in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. If you're away from your house, then find yourself a house where you can light Ner Chanukah. And if you have to chip in for the Ner, that's what you'll have to do. If you have to rent a house because right now you don't have a house, that's what you have to do. So that's why I said before that Ner Chanukah, that Chanukah is not a good time to take a cruise. If you can't light Chanukah candles on a cruise, Rashi says that a cruise is not a bias. So you won't have the ability of implementing that obligation, and there's a Chovetz Gavra. Then we said that Tosfos holds that there is no Chovetz Gavra. Name! Tosfos also agrees that there's a Chovetz Gavra near Chanukah. The only exception is someone who has no possibility of being Mekayim in the mitzvah. Why doesn't he have the ability to be Mekayim in the mitzvah? Because it would cost him more than 20% of his lechos to get a bias. In that case, we say he's part of min mitzvah. And that's the chiddush of Tosfos, that onus is part of min mitzvah. And that's what led Tosfos to the kashif. If in the case of Ner Chanukah, someone who has no bias, the Chazal went all out for him, and they organized a new mitzvah, namely what? Re'iyah. They should have done the same thing for Nevach, a person who can't afford a bias, for mezuzah. And they should have said, if he sees someone else's mezuzah, let him make a brach on Re'iyah. So the upshot of this whole discussion is, and this really changes our whole understanding, is that everybody, all the Rishonim, even the Balei HaTosfos, would agree that there's a Chovetz Gavra in Chanukah. The only thing is that in order to fulfill the Chovetz Gavra, what do you need? A bias. If you don't have a bias and you can't afford a bias, then you become potter for the mitzvah. Why are you potter for the mitzvah? Because Tosfos accepts an equation between ones and potter min mitzvah. And he finally ends up this, he completes this essay by saying that we come back to the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam says that in order to fulfill Mahadrin, what should we do? I'm going to give you the wrong answer first. Let everybody in the house light his own candle. Right? That's the wrong answer. The Rambam says, no. What should we do to fulfill the mitzvah of Mahadrin? Oh, one person should add candles, keneged the mispar of the Bnei Abayis. There's all one adlok. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Aleph, codifies the halacha, as we know it in the Ashkenazic world, that the Mahadrin means that everybody should light his own Ner Chanukah. Why? So he suggests the following, that it could be that according to the Rambam, what you have in Ner Chanukah is a Chovetz Gavra, and we want to suggest that even the Balei HaTosfos hold is a Chovetz Gavra, but you can be Yotze your Chovetz Gavra vicariously through that luck of the Baal HaBayis, because you're one of the Bnei HaBayis. Comes along the Mahadran and says, no, I want to fulfill my Chovetz Gavra begufi. Okay, that sounds like a word from Donald Duck, but I didn't mean it that way. Begufi means with my goof. Okay? Sometimes the overlap between English and Hebrew is laughable. Okay? So that makes sense. We started with a Chovas Gavra. I'm going to fulfill my Chovas Gavra, mi ikar adin, through that luck of the Baal HaBayis. Comes along the Ma'aj and says, no, I have a Chovas Gavra. I'm not sharing it with anybody. I'm going to implement my own Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, personally, with my goof. But now we get to the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, that the Mahadrin is that the Madlik adds Kemispar B'nei HaBayis. He just increases the number of candles, but there's always going to be one Hadlok for everybody. Why not set up a mitzvah of Mahadrin so that everybody fulfills his own Chovetz Gavra? The answer might be that the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah holds that there is no Chovetz Gavra in Chanukah. And it's all a Chovetz Bayis. And if it's a chovas bais, we can only enhance that one adlock on behalf of the bais, but we can't set up individual adlockers because no one individually is chayiv in the midst of Ner Chanukah. But if that be the case, we're stuck with a contradiction between the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah and the Rambam Hilchos Brachos, because the Rambam Hilchos Brachos establishes clearly that Ner Chanukah has a chovas gavra. So why didn't the Rambam take the chovas gavra and run with it? And he should have applied the same Mahadran definition as the Rambam. And the Mahadran means that each one wants to fulfill his chovas gavra personally. And what's the answer to this whole problem? The last two words in the paragraph, it's tzarich iyun. There is no answer. So let's just, again, before we give your answer, Alan, let's just summarize the question. The question is that the Mechaber here, as I call him, has a stira between two Rambams. He's got the Rambam in Hilchos, in Hilchos Brachos, who clearly, explicitly commits himself to the position, no doubt about it, that Ner Chanukah is a chova, like any other chova, like tefillin, and like sukkah, and shofar, and lulav. And yet the Rambam Hilchos Brachos refuses to allow, in the context of Mahadran, that each person yells and screams, I want to fulfill the mitzvah myself. If the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos is consistent in Hilchos Chanukah, and is a chovas gavra, each person is chayav, get yourself a house. If you don't have a house, we'll make a takara on your behalf, and we'll give you the possibility of ri'iyah. Is then, if all the members of the house would like to, how should I say, volunteer for fulfilling the Chovas Gavra and not relying on that lucka of the Balabayas, then why does the Rambam reject the Rambam? Again, pardon the language here, because that's funny. You know, that's like stupid to say, why does the Rambam reject the Rambam? The Rambam was about 5 centuries after the Rambam. But what I mean is, why does the Rambam reject the concept of the Rambam? That Mahadran means, I want to take this Chovas Gavra and convert it into Chovas Aguf, so that my physical lighting of the candle will be fulfillment of my Chovas Gavra. That's Mahadran. Why did the Rambam reject that? Why does the Rambam insist that there should be one Madlik, and in order to fulfill Mahadran, just add to the number of candles corresponding to the number of people in the house? Yeah.
Well, first of all, the Rambam can tell you that Barovam Hadras Mela.
Excellent. Barovam Hadras Mela. You know, so Rambam doesn't want to upset the single hadlok on behalf of all the members of the house. Do you remember the discussion we had yesterday? What happens is that by adding candles in the Mahadran to the Madlik's hadlaka, you upgrade and you embellish that hadlaka. It becomes hadlaka that demonstrates the miracle for 5 people, not just 1 person. If on the other hand, each person separates himself, he's going to have kavana what? Shalolot says he wants to remove himself from the hadlaka to balabayis and set up his own hadlaka. What you're doing is you're undermining the kiyum of heather mitzvah in the original hadlaka. The original hadlaka means demonstrate how many people were saved in this hadlaka. And now what you're doing is you say, no, let's take the hadlaka of the balabayis and let's chip away at it, let's diminish it. Let's steal this candle because of Shimon, and let's take away this candle because of Levi, because every member of the house says, I'm out of here. I want to do my own hadlaka. I want to do my own thing. That Mahadran, according to the Rambam, undermines the original mitzvah of Ner Ishu Beso. The Heder mitzvah should be in the Maisa mitzvah of Ner Ishu Beso.
And it's clear that by the candles...
That's the Rambam Shita.
The Rambam is saying, by adding the candles, that's the heater, because right. He could be most of them all without adding candles. He'd just be most of them all just on one candle.
Correct. So the Ikra Mitzvah is 1 candle for the entire household. To embellish that Maisa Mitzvah, we're going to add candles, connected Anshei Abayis. That's what the Rambam wants to achieve. The Rambam doesn't see it that way. The Rambam sees it as if there's one Balabayas who's fulfilling the mitzvah on behalf of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and he's the proxy, he's the agent. And therefore, in order to embellish this mitzvah through Hidur, each person has a right to say that I want to fulfill the mitzvah on my own. And this leads us, Rabosai, to Simon Ches. So again, if I had a schnapps, I would offer you a siyum on Simon Zayin, and also we would celebrate the birth of our granddaughter, who was born yesterday. It's not even 24 hours yet. But let's go on to Simon Ches, because I don't have any schnapps. Eschatoy any maskir. In our shir at 8:30 this morning, we discussed whether you should sell sell schnapps on Erev Pesach to a guy because of the problem of chametz. But here we're up to Simon Ches. Now, we discussed Simon Ches, but you didn't have the text in front of you. Am I right?
Yes.
So, Eschatoni Maske, you didn't have the photocopies of pages Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and the top of Chav. So we don't have to really go through this, but since you all have a pencil and a pen, and if you don't have one, you borrowed one from me, which I was very happy that you did, I would just like you to underline certain things, which I'll just highlight, because I honestly hope that at the end of our leaving, you'll have a little bit of a booklet. You know, you'll find a binder. I haven't found a binder yet, so I use one of these nyloniot, as they call it, these sheet protectors. And what I want you to underline here is on the bottom of page Yud Ches, on the right column, one line up before the end of that column, it says Hameiri. Mm-hmm. Again, I tried to underline it in pencil. I don't know if it came out in the photocopy.
It did?
Yeah. Oh, good. So maybe that'll save you a little bit of work or a little bit of ink, but I would still like you to underline it, maybe with a pen or maybe with a red pen, or if you have a highlight. John, you have a highlight. So the Meiri says that the Mahadrin should add candles that would correspond, because again, he's operating with the Rambam's frame of reference, that Mahadrin means there's only one Madlik on behalf of all the household members. But how many candles do you have to add? Well, Kaminyan Mispar B'nei Abayis, but how many are there? So you'll underline the word on the left, on the top of the left column here, Hagdolim. The Meiri adds the word Hagdolim. So what is he telling me? I have five adults in my family, and I have two children in my family. How many candles should I be lighting? Five or seven?
Five.
Because the Meiri says Hagdolim. Then he quotes the Shiltei Giborim, which you might want to highlight on the second line, right, where it says V'chein Kosev HaShiltei Giborim, and he says, because again, now keep in mind the Shiltei Giborim is operating within the framework of Teramah, meaning everybody's lighting his own candle for the Mahadrin, and he goes out of his way to say, but the Ketanim are not, we don't have to give the Ketanim, you know, save your money here, you don't have to give the Ketanim. Now I just want to take a census here. How many people, either now have ketanim, or in the past they had ketanim, or they know other people have ketanim. How many people in this room are familiar with the minhag that the ketanim will also light their own Ner Chanukah?
Little children,
let's say 9-year-old children, let's say, just to make life easy. Al, what are you familiar with?
I think they do.
They do, they light their own candles.
Yeah.
And that's against the Shiltei Giborim. Now again, when I say it's against the Shiltei Giborim, I'm not 100% sure if the Shiltei Giborim would bring down the house here with a stormy protest if the Ketanim went ahead and they lit their own candle. The issue might be in terms of the bracha. We're only going to allow a child to recite a bracha when there's a mitzvah of chinuch, because otherwise his bracha is in vain. So take for example, and I hope you've never seen this, where I buy, not I, but I mean the person buys for his child a lemon instead of an esra. Now that's a problem. You can't make a bruch on a lemon. And even if you want to say, well, I'm training him, you know, next year we'll buy him an esra, but this year we couldn't afford an esra for him, so we bought a lemon. Lemon is a lot cheaper than an esra could cost a 1,000 shekel. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. I guess you didn't see Yush Pizin. It's the one movie I could recommend. I even showed the MMY girls in my living room. We had a showing of the Yush Pizin movie, and then we had a whole discussion about Bretzel, and about anger, and about the whole nine yards. Now Shuli Rand is putting out books, I hear. He's doing new things. But that was his real debut. In any event, so it's not so simple just to tell a katan to do a mitzvah because I feel like it. You know, it's got to be a kiyum of chinuch in order to justify the bracha. So the Shiltei Giborim says there's no chinuch in Ner Chanukah for the ketanim. Do not encourage the katan to light his own ner. Why? And he says an unbelievable chiddush that there's no chinuch for hidur mitzvah. There's only chinuch for the ikra mitzvah. Okay? And this, I want you to underline all the way on page Yutes, on the left column, you'll see a paragraph that starts ulam on the top of the left column on Yutes. And you might underline the Magen Avraham. Do you see what it says? Ulam ha-Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says the following. And now you want to drop down about five lines. Do you see where it says Aval? The first word in the line is Mitzad. Mm-hmm. You have that. So you want to underline the word from the word Aval until the end of the next line. Aval Bazeh, meaning as far as having each one in the members of the family light their own candles. Degam Begadol, even if this youngster would have been Bar Mitzvah, Leka Ki Im Hidur Mitzvah Bialma. It's not a fulfillment of any obligation because Neri should be so, and presumably the Baal Bais has already lit his candle, everybody's Yotze. It's therefore, he says, and underline these words, Eino Mechuyev Lechayev Lechanek HaKotem Bo. This is the opinion of the Shulte Giborim as it is clarified by the Magen Avraham. So now, what's the Machlokas? Why does the Shulte Giborim think that there's no chinuch for hidur mitzvah? Mm-hmm. And yet, the Ramah paskins explicitly in Shulchan Aruch Tofresh Ayin Hey that we should have the child light his own candle because of chinuch. And the answer is, and you have to drop down to a line that starts with hidur mitzvah, and you could underline the following words. Maybe start a little bit before that with the word nistapku. Nistapku means they're arguing about the following, vacillating about the following point. What is the nature of hidur mitzvah? He says on the one end, this you want to underline in hidur mitzvah chelek migufam mitzvah. No, even though it's not critical, but it does enhance the mitzvah itself. It upgrades the kiyum of that mitzvah, that specific mitzvah. And then you drop down two lines. Oh, like the first word in the word is likuma, but underline the word oh, shehidur mitzvah he mitzvah bifnei atzma. That hidur mitzvah does not enhance the kiyum of mitzvah of this specific mitzvah. It's a general kiyum of ze kelim yaveyum of being mahadras of mitzvahs. What bothers me here is I don't understand. He's claiming that according to the Ramah, the nature of hidur mitzvah is to embellish this mitzvah. And therefore, I have to give the katan the chinuch for this mitzvah. And if the chinuch for this mitzvah is to have a hidur mitzvah and light your own candle, that's exactly what I have to train my son. However, the Shulte Giborim maintains that hidur mitzvah is not a chelik miguf. It's not part of the mitzvah. It doesn't enhance this mitzvah. It's some sort of a mitzvah unto itself, we'll call it. But I don't understand. Even if it's a mitzvah unto itself,
it's chinuch to that mitzvah.
So let it be chinuch for that mitzvah. He doesn't clarify that. I was disappointed in this in two ways. Number one, I wasn't sure why the Ramah would definitely assume that since hidur mitzvah enhances the mitzvah, therefore we should be machanik the cotton to light his own candle, even if hidur mitzvah enhances the mitzvah. But the cotton was already yotzei the mitzvah. I mean, everybody in the household was yotzei the mitzvah. So what are we going to tell the cotton? We're going to tell the cotton that he should have in mind that he doesn't want to be yotzei without blocking the Baal Bais because he wants to light his own candle. It's hard to say that that's hidur mitzvah because you're removing yourself from the mitzvah itself in order to be makayim hidur mitzvah. I don't know. I don't know if even the Ramah would go that far. So I don't think we've solved the problem here by just simply stating that hidur mitzvah is part of the gufa mitzvah. And number two, to explain the Shulte Giborim, he says, well, it's not part of the gufa mitzvah, but rather it's a mitzvah bifnei atzma. Therefore, there's no chinuch? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not totally convinced about that. And the pella here is that in the balance of this paragraph, he compares this issue to the issue of Nanuim and Lulav. And as I mentioned yesterday, Nanuim and Lulav is certainly a major part of the mitzvah of Lulav. Again, it's not likuva, it's not the critical, it's not indispensable. And if you didn't do the nanuim, you were yotzev, and I'd be nothing bay. But certainly nanuim is not just some sort of a heder mitzvah. So the fact that we have to train our children not only to take the lulav but to be mananeh the lulav, that doesn't prove anything. That has nothing to do with heder mitzvah. So I'm not sure if I understand what he's saying here. If you turn to page Chav, he says that the brisker rav, that's on the second line on page Chav, you want to underline Maran Riz HaLevi. What does Riz stand for? Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zev, right? Yitzchak Zev. It's interesting that they call, in the yeshiva world, they call him Velvel. Velvel is really for Zev. I don't know where the Yitzel of Velvel dropped off. I would say Yitzel of Velvel, you know, but not Velvel. But I don't know, they call him
Velvel ate the Yitzchak.
Okay, somehow it's related to Yitzchak. I don't know. Why is it related to Yitzchak?
I said the Velvel ate the Yitzchak.
Oh,
Yitzchak is within the Velvel.
That sounds more like a joke.
No, it's within the Velvel now.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
It's part of the food chain, huh?
Food chain? Yes.
Why, is the food chain called Velvel?
No, Velvel is the wolf.
Velvel is the wolf.
Wolf and
so what does that to do? Oh.
It's so like that's a chad gadget, so it's...
He ate up Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Again, Yitzchak was his first name. You know, there was a Rav Yitzchak Soloveitchik way, way generations before Rav Velvel. He was a Rashiva in Balazhin Yeshiva. So I don't know why they dropped the Yitzchak. They called him Velvel. I mean, that's just the way he's... You know, sometimes you pick up a... what is it called? How do you say it in English? A kinui, a nickname. You know, you can pick up a nickname. Nobody knows exactly... Well, yeah, they have two names, mm-hmm. and they give him a nickname on the second name, not on the first name.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Unless you say not allowed.
Anyway, he has the word Maran. Maran agrees alevi. Mm-hmm. Okay, Maran, meaning he sees himself as a Talmud in the Brisker Rav, even though he's a Talmud of Rav Yashaber Rav Beryl, but it's all part of the tradition of the Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav claims that he found the Rabbeinu Chananel. I didn't see this Rabbeinu Chananel. And Rabbeinu Chananel, based on a Gemara Bava Kama, comes to the conclusion that there is no such thing as Hidur Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. It's pretty raw, way out conclusion. You know, we've been learning about Chanukah now for about 2 months almost. I guess I'm exaggerating, but not by much. And we've always assumed for the last 2 months that Chanukah is like the paradigm of Hidur Mitzvah. You know, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. And the Brisker Rav says, name. This is Rabbeinu Chananel that holds that there's no Hidur Mitzvah near Chanukah. It can't be, by definition. Why is that so?
Can't do it on the first day.
No, because the Gemara says in Bava Kama that Hidur Mitzvah is only Ad Shlip. So let's say I have an Esrog and it's worth 100. So I'll spend up to, but not beyond, 133 shekel, let's say, for a better esrog, but not beyond. There could never be hider beyond the shlish. Now, if you're multiplying candles, then by definition, the second candle, let's say on the second night, is worth 100% of the first candle.
Yeah.
Right? That's logical. And therefore, it goes beyond Hidur Mitzvah. By definition, Rabbi Nachmanal insists, it can't be Hidur Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Because the very moment you add another Ner to the first Ner, you've already jacked it up to 100%. Yeah. And we only jack it up to a third.
But he said there's like a Chiyuv in the Hidur. It doesn't say that there's no Hidur.
I don't think so. I think the halacha is that what? Just 1 second. Ah, you're right, you're right. Let's read the Rabbeinu Chananel. That's a good point. He says the following. That Rabbeinu Chananel b'Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amid Beis Hevi Dibri HaGemar B'Bakam Adav Tes the Lekach Chiyuv. You're right. Lekach Chiyuv. Okay. Let's underline the word Chiyuv. Lekach Chiyuv Hidur Mitzvah Ner Chanukah the Kaimalon the Hidur Mitzvah Shlish Mitzvah V'Yoser Einam Achuyuv Litein V'Ad Hidur Mitzvah. Oh, You see the Rabbeinu Chanal adds on the top of the left column here on page Chav, three words, L'misha Rotzel
Hahadir.
So the whole enterprise of Hidur Mitzvah is voluntary by definition.
Maybe that's
the last
reason.
Let's see. Mitzvah. He's not accepting this from Rabbeinu Chananel. So I'm not sure how he solves the problem of Rabbeinu Chananel, but in any event, he has now a new interpretation of the machlokas between the Shulta Giborim and the Ramah. They're not arguing about the nature of chiyuv of hidur, whether hidur is built into the mitzvah and it enhances the gufa mitzvah, or it's a separate independent chiyuv. Let's say they both agree that it's part of the mitzvah itself and it enhances the gufa mitzvah. But the question is, could there be a concept of chiyuv with regard to the hidur of Ner Chanukah? What do I mean? I want to be mechanic a katan for a mitzvah that he will become obligated in as a gadol, and that's accepted by both the Ramah and the Shulta Gemara. They both accept that definition. Again, chinuch only applies to a mitzvah that will be a chiyuv when the child becomes a gadol. Like, for example, if I were to tell you that baking matzahs is a chiyuv mitzvah, but it's not a chiyuv mitzvah, there would be no obligation to be mechanech the child for an optional mitzvah of baking matzahs. Maybe that's... Anybody have a better example than that? Just one second. Let's see if we can come up with a better example. Again, I know this is a little bit more complicated, but let's say matzah past the first night might be... According to many, they blame it on the Gaon, but it's way, way before the Gaon. I mean, you showed
about
the
Shechizkuni.
Same
with your level, like I said before, you can't give wrong a level, but there's a lot of fear to give a level
up. Right, but that's even more far-reaching, because there I'm saying that even if you'd be a Gadol, the mitzvah would be meaningless. I'm talking about a mitzvah which, as a Gadol, would be optional, voluntary, but it's not obligatory. So I gave you the example of, let's say, eating matzah. So do I have to train my son to eat matzah? And the answer, called Shiva, and the answer is no. Why? Because I'm only obligated in chinuch to prepare the child for that which he's going to be obligated in as a gadol. Right. Oh. So now, will the child be obligated in mahadrin as a gadol? So the answer is, well...
Depends.
Before we get to Ner Chanukah. In other mitzvahs, where's a hidur mitzvah? So that's an obligation. Meaning, I have two esrogim in front of me, and one costs, let's say, 1.3, and the other costs 1. So then I'm gonna, if I have the wherewithal, unless I'm poor, I have to buy the one that's 1.3. So I'll train my child for that mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. Now we get to Ner Chanukah. Is there ever a chiyuv of the hidur of Ner Chanukah? That's going to be the machlokas between the Shulta Gemara and the Ramah. The Shulta Gemara says there'll never ever be a chiyuv for hidur mitzvah ner chanukah. Why? Because by definition it's more than a shlish.
That's according to the Ramah, maybe.
No, I'm saying that the Shulta Gemara accepted the view of Rabbeinu Chananel. Right, what do we add? Rabbeinu Chananel says, L'misha rotzeh lahadir. In other words, Rabbeinu Chananel went out of his way to point out, that's how the Brisker Rav learned to Rabbeinu Chananel, that you'll never have a chiyuv of hidur mitzvah ner chanukah, because by definition it's more than a shlish. Well, I don't know about the Rambam. Well, just one second. I know Rabbeinu Chananel. You want to quote the Rambam, you'll tell me about the Rambam. But let's get by Rabbeinu Chananel first. So again, Rabbeinu Chananel says, the Misha Rotza Lahadir, says the Brisker Rav. What does Rabbeinu Chananel try to convey? Everybody, there will never, ever be what? A chiyuv of hidur mitzvah ner chanukah. It's always, by definition, more than a shlish. And Rabbeinu Chananel quotes the Gemara Bava Kamma that says, ad shlish. The Rambam holds, no. Then in Ner Chanukah, we don't know exactly why, they established the chiyuv of hidur that undermines all the rules of ad shlish. This reminds me, whoever was here about 6 weeks ago, if anybody remembers, Rabbi Bezalel Zsolti, who said that the whole mechanism of hidur mitzvah Ner Chanukah defies the general restrictions or conditions for a Hidur mitzvah, and it's a separate mitzvah in the way Chazal established Ner Chanukah. Anybody remember that? Because the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin that on the second night, the Madlik will, let's say there are two people in the house. Wait, let me give you a better example. Let's say there are three people in the house, and you're up to, let's say, the third night of Chanukah, right? So the Rambam says you light 9 candles. In other words, you fulfill both the Mahadra and the Mahadra Min Mahadra. Anyway, I'm not going to go into all the details, but Shaul Zolti says that's not Hidur Mitzvah. Why? Because as Tosfos points out, the onlooker, the spectator, has no clue. He doesn't know what these numbers represent. Are these the members of the household, or the number of days of Chanukah? You remember all that? Oh, so Shaul Zolti says, I think I mentioned either yesterday or 2 days ago, that Hidur Mitzvah definition is only begalui and not b'mechusa. He has a sugya tefillin that in the insides of the tefillin there's no hidur, it's only on the outside of the tefillin. Whole discussion. So he says, according to the Rambam, nobody knows what he's doing here. There's no clue. But the answer is that the Rambam holds is a separate takana of hidur mitzvah near Chanukah. Maybe that's what the Rambam is saying. That even though hidur mitzvah in universal terms would certainly not apply to near Chanukah, because it's more than a shlish, but here we have a separate mitzvah that they enacted with regard to Ner Chanukah, and they embellished it or defined it as a mitzvah of Hidur mitzvah.
Could be because the very essence of the Hidur is because you've got the extra night, which is all based on a ness rather than just based on.
Ah, I see. I thought that you were going to say something else, Lenny, because why did this miracle come about? They had no requirement of looking for Shemintar. Why is that?
That's all Tumah.
Correct. That's called Tumah Hucha Mitzibur. So the whole thing came about because they were Mahadras and Mitzvah. They looked for a Pap Shemintar. They didn't have to do that. And they did it because of Mahadran. So we established Mahadran. Now, the assumption of Rabbeinu Chananel is that by definition, when you add a second candle, you're going above a Shlish. Is that necessarily so? What do I mean? So first you'll laugh at what I'm about to say, but then I'm going to try to sharpen it up, so you won't laugh me out of the base measures. Maybe the second nair will be cheap. Maybe you get a cheap nair. So you're going to laugh at me. Well, what kind of business is this? You're going to get stingy on the second nair. You get a cheapo nair. You know, the first nair costs you 10 shekel, and the second nair you're going to get cheapo, and it'll cost you 1 shekel. Well, what do I mean is the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says that even if I exclude certain oils because of kavsa and the whole problem, and these are cheap oils, you know, shemin agozim and shemin shushimin, that's only as far as the first nair is concerned. But as far as the second nair is concerned, insofar as it's only hidur mitzvah, the Beis HaLevi says we can lower our standards for the second nair and buy these cheapo nairos that are psulim for nair shabbos, that are oils and wicks that are inferior in status.
Does that fly in the face of logic that you're doing a hidur by going cheap?
No, because again, basically these shmonim should be kosher even for nair chanukah for the ikar mitzvah. Hello, what?
But it's not a hidur.
You're afraid that maybe Rashi says he won't stand over the nair, it's and this, and he'll be. He'll leave the premises, he'll be poshea. I mean, the whole thing is such a way out of chashash to invalidate and disqualify Lishmanim. Says the Beis HaLevi, Dayel of Amin Adin, it's bad enough that you passel Lishmanim on the first night of Hanukkah. You don't have to do so for the Mahadran. Let's go back to square one. In all likelihood, the Nair will last you full half hour. And not only that, in all likelihood, if it gets a little bit weak, then he'll stand over and he'll be attacking the Nair. You want to say that maybe it'll be this and maybe that and it'll be poshea and all that. Do you remember the Rashi? That we don't have to worry about in terms of the Mahaj. So I'm just saying, whatever it is, as I say, Beis HaLevi, you can disagree with the Beis HaLevi, you don't have to. But if you hold like the Beis HaLevi, then I'm just thinking out loud. Again, this may be a milsa the bedichusa, but you're allowed to tell jokes on Chanukah. And maybe it means that according to Beis HaLevi, the second nair will be worth a fraction, less than a third of the first nair. I'm just throwing that. Now, why is it that the whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah surrounds the bias, So you have a little bit of a siman here in Tess, in which he quotes the Rambam in Geres Hashmad, which we discussed yesterday at great length. But I would ask you to highlight the last line on the right column in this middle siman called Tess, and highlight the words Rambam b'Geres Hashmad. And the Rambam says that the Yevanim forced us to lock our doors. No, I'm sorry. Start again. That the Yevanim forced us to open our doors. This reminds me of the Inquisition. Right, what went on during the Inquisition? The Moranos, what did they do?
They hid and they did
mitzvahs. Right, they did mitzvahs in hiding.
Right.
So already many, many centuries before that, the Yevanim were afraid. They knew who they were dealing with, this, with these Jews, right? They're going to dig into their basements and they're going to do all these mitzvahs in their basements. So they already said at Zerah that the Jews have to leave their doors open. And that's the lush in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shalo Yiskar. You might want to underline this on the left column, on the top line. He says, Shalo Yiskar Adam is Pesach Besa. That he shouldn't lock his door and do mitzvahs inside his house. That's what he stated in Rambam.
Well,
I'm very impressed because he really read the Yigar Shmat. I mean, your average yeshiva book has never even heard of Yigar Shmat, let alone read it, and let alone be medayik in it, and let alone be machadish chidushim in the Yigar Shmat of the Rambam. You know who knows the Yigar Shmat?
The Teimanim.
They know the Yigar Shmat because the Teimanim got letters from the Rambam coming out of their ears, and that's the whole of Yemenite Judaism is based on the Rambam, and Brisket Torah is based on the Rambam. Yeah, what did you want to say?
So they didn't want them to close the doors because if they closed the doors, then they could do it in private. So yeah. They wanted to keep it open.
If they
kept it open, you know, a Jew wouldn't do it
if the door is open, you know, because anybody could come in. It's like Yichud, you know, Pesach Pasul Lishosah. So we're up to Siman Yud now. And here's what I'd like you to underline. Oh, just 1 minute. Where's the piece about Rishus HaRabim? Just 1 second, if I can find that, that'll be a Hanukkah miracle. Okay, just 1 second, a piece about Rishus HaRabim. Oh, look at that, a little bit of a miracle. Do you guys have page Lamed Aleph? That'll be the second part of the miracle.
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
No, we didn't get to Lamed Aleph. Okay, so we only got half of the miracle. Okay. So let's go back to the pages that you do have. One second. What is going on? Okay, so that I have. So Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet, I have an extra copy if anybody needs. I don't know how that happened. Chav Gimel and Chav Dal. Just 1 second. I think I have this also as extra if anybody needs it. Chaf Aleph. And this seems to be extra. Okay, so I don't know if that forms a whole unit or not. Okay, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalim, Chaf Hei, Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin, Chaf Ches. Oh, and this is extra as well. Okay, then? So let me give you the extra ones if anybody wants to. Wants the chapter.
I don't understand.
Just give me 1 minute, okay. Alan. Just to organize my head here. Do you have page Chaf Tess?
Yes.
That we don't have. Okay, so you don't have Chaf Tess. Okay. Do you have page Lamed Ches?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so now my head is on is screwed on here. So we have Lamed Ches, and you have, well, how far do you have Mem? Even as far as Mem?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's what we have. About 15 minutes left, or a little bit less. Let's focus on Siman Yud Tes. Okay then? And for tomorrow, if you can make a mental note of it, I'd like to do with you Simonim, Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. Okay, and if Abby, maybe you don't mind marking this down, those are pages Lamed Aleph until Lamed Zayin. So I don't know what you have, what you don't have, that'll be for tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So what do we have on Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes? Okay. So this is the siman that deals with hadlaka al shulchan. Does anybody remember what chakira we had about hadlaka al shulchan?
If it was a change in the mitzvah, or whether it was just
correct
a diyeved,
and then, or was it a compromise for that moment in time when there was a sakana? And if you recall, there was another chakira here. To what extent, in other words, when I say to what extent about a chiyuv, I mean say is it critical or not, likuva, to what extent does the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah require Pesach beso mibachutz? And in this presentation, he begins with the Rambam. So what you want to underline here on page Lamed Ches, in the first paragraph that starts Shabbos, if you can underline or highlight about, I'd say halfway down this paragraph, you see where it says Biperek Gimel, Beis Pei Gimel? You want to underline that. Because this is the Rambam that defines the nature of the Takana of the Chachamim in that generation when they established the mitzvah of Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah. And the Rambam writes there, and you want to underline on the very next line, Umadlikim behem neros ba'erev al pischei habatim. Do you have any underlines there? I underline pischei habatim in my version, but I don't know if you got that in your photocopy. So what impression do you get here from this Rambam in Perek Gimel? In a minute we'll see the Rambam in Perek Daled. When he says al pischei habatim, and again, the Rambam is talking about the Takon of Ner Chanukah. Where does it have to be? On the outside of your house. So this idea of Hadlok al Shulchan is not going to cut the mustard. I mean, again, maybe after Sakana, maybe we have to reinvent the wheel. But in the original Takana, which is Al Pesach Beso, the Rambam doesn't tolerate lighting anywhere other than outside the house. Now, in the next line he says, Biperek Dalid Alocha Ches. You want to underline that. The Rambam quotes the Alocha of Mitzvah Lanichal Pesach Beso Ubishasa Sakona Menichal Shulchana Vidayo. Which means that the Rambam is setting up a new Alocha of Shas Sakona. If you would ask me, what would the Rambam say before Shas Sakana? Let's say before, because I'm not yet getting into the second question. But before the Shas Sakana, if the man lit his Ner Chanukah on the Shulchan, would he have fulfilled his mitzvah? The answer is no, because the Rambam says that the Takana was Al Pischei Habatim. Now, if you fast forward to a paragraph that starts with the word Ulam, he quotes the Ritva. And the Ritva says that, let's say he, for whatever reason, he was tarud and he delayed his Ner Chanukah until after Kol Sel Regel Min Hashuk. So already we're beyond the half hour after Tzeis. The Ritva says, no problem. Why? Because Madlik Bifnim, he can light it on the inside. What's the advantage of lighting it on the inside if it's after Kol Sel Regel Min Hashuk? Ben, can you help me out here?
Because your own family will...
Exactly, the person of Manasseh would be for your family. Now, is the Ritva talking about Shas HaSakana? For sure not. How do I know this? Because in the next line, the Ritva says, Doham Rinon, this is all a quote from the Ritva, Likamon, Nevi Shas HaSakana, Madlik Al Shulchan Vidayo, if you can underline. That's on line 5 over here. The Ritva himself quotes the Halakha of Shas HaSakana, and he proves that there is a possibility, again, a fallback possibility, if necessary, and the Shas HaKohen is certainly necessary, to light on your candle, to light on your table. So you see, says the Ritva, that there is such a thing as Ner Chanukah on your table. Again, if it's Shas HaKohen, that's exactly the way you have to do the mitzvah. That's the way we're going to formulate the obligation. But says the Ritva, if it's not Shas HaKohen, meaning in the period of time before Shas HaKohen, if you messed up on the shuk, meaning there's not a person walking around at this late hour in the marketplace, then light on the inside. No, you'll tell me, but if I light on the inside, there's only a hekera for the Nerbayis, maybe that's not considered Ner Chanukah. I must get the Pirsum Hanes on the outside. I'll prove it to you, he says. Because otherwise it would make no sense that Bishas HaKohen you could light on the inside. So you see that the Ritva understood that even before the case of, even before the historical period of Shas HaKohen, there were two options. There's the perfect, ideal option, and that's Pirsum Hanes to the outside. And then there's the fallback position of Pirsum Hanes for the Bnei Abayis. From Shas HaKohen V'Eilech, the Ritva derives the conclusion that there is such an entity. Now, if we're going to assume that Mishas HaKohen, the Rabbanan created a new entity, a brand new entity, a new Takana of Ner Chanukah, namely for the Bnei Abayis, then the Ritva makes no sense. How can the Ritva establish that before Shas HaKohen historically, you could fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes vis-a-vis the Bnei Abayis? Prove that from Shas HaKohen. Shas HaKohen is a brand new takana. So what you want to underline here in this paragraph, Ulam, if you count up five lines before the end of the paragraph, please underline the words Ubal Karcha, the Sfirle La Ritva, the Mekayim Iker Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Filu B'mei Nichal Shulchano. When he's talking about Iker Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, he means before Shas HaKohen. Okay. Now, I don't know what happened to me here. I'll just. If you're on page Lamed Tes, he summarizes the Ritva in the first part of this page, and I'd like you to underline, if you can, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The end of the seventh line, he says that. Well, let's start at the beginning of that line. To be MS. Ainze tre takanos. There aren't two takanos according to the Ritva. One takana before Shas HaKohen, one from Shas HaKohen on. One takana for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, and another takana for the Bnei Abayis. No, ki'im, it's all one mitzvah. Da mitzvah lenichal pesach beisom mibachutz, going to the Ritva. Ainze ela le mitzvah min amuchar. That's only the ideal mitzvah. If everything is equal, then we're going to introduce a Pirsum Hanes to the Ovrim V'Shavim outside. But as far as the Guf Kiva Mitzvah, the bare bones of the Mitzvah, that you could fulfill even Al Shulchano. So again, the topic of this essay, Simon Yutes, is Adlok Al Shulchano. We have now a fundamental machlok between the Ram and the Ritva. Whereas the Ram understood that Adlok Al Shulchano is only a Takana unto itself, and the essence of the mitzvah, the Ram defines in Perek Gimel Milchus Chanukah as Pesach Beso, it's got to be on the outside of his house. The Ritva, on the other hand, understands that there's the perfect, ideal Ner Chanukah, that's for the Ovrim V'Shavim, and then there's the fallback Ner Chanukah, the goof, the bare bones mitzvah of Ner Chanukah of Bnei Abayis, and then Adlok Al Shulchan is not just a new Takana, but it's all part of and built into the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And then in the paragraph of Hine, he quotes a Rashba. Now the Rashba is addressing the issue of Asur L'shtamish Li'ora. In what context? Rava says that, just a second. So let me get the, I'm sorry, I know it's, I'm getting, like, I'm under the gun right now, but, according to Rava, is, Rav Rava is saying. Oh, here's the Rashba. The Rashba wants to suggest the fine. Rava was the one who said on Chaf Alpha base that we need an extra Nair. And many Rishonim say the reason why we need an extra Nair for Nair Chanukah is because Mutal Shtamish Le'ora Shol Nair Chanukah, and therefore the Rav will think Litzarko Komadli. Comes on the Rashba and he says, Nay, Rava holds also Shtamish Le'ora, and I'm going to prove it to you. And nevertheless, Rava still requires the extra Nair. How does the Rashba know that Rava himself holds also Shtamish Le'ora? Because Rava has a triage, as we called it. What's Rava's triage? You only have enough money on Shabbos Chanukah for one Nair. Should he use it for Nair Shabbos or Nair Besa? Says the Rashba, if Mutal Ishtamish Liora, then let him use one Nair and accomplish two things with one, you know, how do you say, kill two birds with one stone. One Nair should be sufficient for both Nair Chanukah and Nair Shabbos. And if Rava postulates a triage that's either or, he must be holding that also l'shtamish li'or. And if there's no way under the sky that the Ner Chanukah could function at the same time as the Ner Shabbos, because Ner Shabbos means to enjoy the benefit of the Ner for Shalom Besa. What does this have to do with our topic of Hadlaka al Hashulchan? Hine, he says, Rava lo ayir b'shas sakola. Now, if we're going to say that the whole din of Hanoch al Shulchan is a new takana, but it's absolutely critical, is then Hine Rav lo ayir b'shas sakana v'neinu d'chol adin d'beinich al Shulchan v'dayo hoisa takana miucheres chak l'shas sakana v'lvad. Maikov Rashba, what does Rashba mean to say anich al Shulchan v'dayo? How could the Rashba say that let him place the Ner Chanukah on his Shulchan and then he's mekayim the mitzvah Ner Chanukah? If he's not talking during Shasas HaKadosh, it must be that the Rashba, like the Ritva, holds that there is a fallback position that you could be mekayim the mitzvah Ner Chanukah by placing it on the Shulchan. Alright, they're ready for Mincha now, I think. Alright, so Rabosai, we're up to Lamed Tes. That page you have. And I mentioned to you which pages that we want to do for tomorrow.
It's Ramadan of Lamed Zayin.
Correct.